morning. I would like to call the House Education Committee to order. Today is the 22nd of March, 2024. The record reflect the time is 8 a.m. Today we have present Representative McKay, Representative McCormick, Representative Hemshute, Representative Prox, Co-Chair Allard, and myself, Co-Chair Ruffridge. So we do have a quorum to conduct business. And please, committee members and those in the audience, silence or turn off your cell phones. The staff assisting us today are Linda with House Records. Thank you, Linda. And Zach with the LIO. Thank you, Zach. And Bud Sexton, my chief of staff, will be our committee aide today, should you need anything. And we are also joined by Representative Story. We have two items on our agenda today, HB 382 from Representative Carpenter, the Education Parent Teacher Rights. And we will be hearing public testimony today on that bill. We also have on the schedule HB 230 from Representative Hemshute, out-of-state teaching experience and salaries, where we will be hearing public testimony on that bill as well. So without any further ado, Representative Carpenter, please reintroduce us to HB 382, since we had such a short introduction at the last hearing. And we will then open up for public testimony.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, for the opportunity. Second opportunity to hear the bill and discuss it, hear from the public, and discuss it some more. HB 382 is an attempt. It's a policy call and a opportunity for us to address issues that I have heard from parents and teachers with the goal of improving the outcomes of our education system that we have. House Bill 382 increases parental participation in their child's education, and it does so in a couple of different ways. We reform the statute AS 1403016, parents' rights, to provide more specificity. We add statute AS 1403018 that doesn't currently exist, that's rights of teachers. We put in statute more specificity on what school records parents have access to. We create an academic policy committee for our schools and ensure that boys don't have access to girls' locker rooms and bathrooms. In a broad overview, that's what the bill does.
Thank you.
Stand for questions.
Thank you, Representative Carpenter. And I do want to make sure that we get to public testimony relatively quickly, but are there any pressing questions for Representative Carpenter? All right. Seeing none, thank you for your introduction. And joined online, we do have Ms. Riddle from the Division of Innovation and Education Excellence, the Division Operation Manager, in case anyone has questions for her. But we did schedule this bill for public testimony this morning, and we do have a few folks online wishing to testify. So at this time, I will open public testimony on HB 382. Public testimony is open, and just for the, committee's knowledge, priority will be given to individuals who are in the room in Juneau and those who are in person at our LIOs across the state, and then we will move to folks who have called in from home or on their cell phone. All of our callers and testifiers will be limited to 2 minutes each, and if you are listening through the akledge.gov or KTOO channel, that is a little bit delayed, so please remember to turn on your volume when you testify. Okay. Is there anyone in the room wishing to testify on HB 382? Please come to the dais and introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank Thank you, Chair Ruffridge. Co-Chairs Ruffridge, Allard, and members of the House Education Committee. For the record, my name is Morgan Lim. I'm a Juneau resident, and today I'm testifying on behalf of Planned Parenthood Alliance Advocates Alaska. PPAA strongly opposes HB 382, which is a blatant attack on LGBTQ youth that would not only force educators to out students to their parents, but also ban students from using bathrooms that align with their gender. No LGBTQ young person should be forcibly outed or lose the opportunity to share their LGBTQ identity with their parents in their own time. Forcing school employees and educators to out these youth to their parents could cause these students to experience mental and emotional abuse, physical abuse, or to be kicked out of their home. Bills like HB 382 foster a culture of distrust among students and their teachers, making students feel less likely to confide in them when they need help or guidance. Every single student deserves to feel safe and respected at school. HB 382 also targets trans students by forcing them to use a bathroom or locker room that doesn't match their gender identity, which would make schools unsafe for these youth and invade all students' privacy. The fear of violence is already a daily reality for trans students. Forcing them into restrooms that don't match the gender they live every day puts them at increased risk of harassment and bullying. HB 382 is part of the movement that promotes extremist rhetoric that empowers politicians and legislators to extend the heavy hand of government into classrooms and hallways at the expense of LGBTQ youth. What parents really want is for their kids to be safe and healthy. HB 382 will ultimately undermine these parents' rights by threatening students' privacy and remove schools as a safe space for them. Please oppose HB 382. Thank you.
And thank you for your testimony. We do have signed up in the room next, Starla Miller. Starla, if you would please come to the table, introduce yourself for the record, and begin your testimony.
My name is Starla Miller, and I'm a Juneau resident. I've been here since 88. I came from San Francisco. My grandson is in the school system here now. I had two daughters in the school system here. And my reasoning for this is the same as the gentleman that just spoke. I think that your kids should always feel safe, no matter what. They should be able to use whatever restroom that they identify with. I think that the government even getting involved with this at this point, to me, seems that the whole thing of the school getting involved in something that parents should be dealing with, this really shouldn't even be here being discussed at this point, in my opinion. I think that I have other friends that feel the exact same way. I know that my daughter, who's a teacher in the Oakland Bay Area, says the same thing also, is that children really want to be able to come and talk with their teachers and say things that they normally wouldn't say at home. The only time that they do have to report is if there's a health or safety issue that's being reported by the child in the home. But if they just want to come and talk about their feelings and talk about what's going on with them, they should be able to do that without fear of any type of retribution happening within not only the school system, but from home or from their peers, because they're trying to have a safe space at school. And that's a really important thing. And I think that my children always felt safe in school, and we didn't need any of this type of bill to be passed for either one of them to feel safe, nor my grandson, who's right now in kindergarten going to first grade next year. And so I really do oppose this bill. I think that it does a lot of harm and absolutely no good. We've gotten all these years without it. There is not any need for it to happen. When kids want to talk to their parents, they will talk to their parents. And I think that's the way it should happen. It shouldn't happen because somebody at school is red flagging.
Thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Appreciate your time. Next in the room, we have Carol Bookless. Please introduce yourself at the table here, and you will have two minutes for your testimony.
Hi, Carol Bookless from Douglas. I'm a teacher. There's a famous book entitled, All I Really Needed to know I learned in kindergarten. I work with kindergartners 5 days a week, and they certainly have taught me a lot. One thing I learned from kinders is that gender dysphoria is really a thing. Gender dysphoria is when you feel that you are a different sex than the one assigned at birth. Gender dysphoria has nothing to do with the act of sex. It has to do with how society tells us a human female or human male behaves or presents themselves to the world. Girls like pink, boys play rough, that sort of thing. I learned that at a very young age, a boy might feel he's really a girl, or a girl may feel she's really a boy. I've seen it with my own eyes. The kindergartners saw it too. They just shrug and accept it. If they can do it, so can we. Believe me, you don't want to stand in the way of a kindergartner who needs to go to the bathroom. My suggestion is Alaska move in the direction of providing a non-gendered bathroom and similarly non-gendered change room in every school. Wording of a better bill might be, by 2026, all school buildings will have a designated non-binary bathroom changing room available to students and staff. The next issue is around pronouns. The bill would be more inclusive if it stated by 2026, school districts in the state of Alaska will provide training to staff in the use of district-mandated non-gender pronouns. Change takes time and is often uncomfortable. I don't really like using new programs. I'm old, but I'm willing to change because it's important. Things are changing. This bill tries to maintain the status quo, but it can't stop the change. When I was a kid, you got hit if you did something they didn't like. Mouths were taped shut. Females, when they went to church, had to wear a scarf. Boys could not wear blue jeans. Cars didn't have seatbelts. These are all things that have changed. I'm going to quote W.E.B. Du Bois. Between me and the other world, there is always an unasked question. Unasked by some through feelings of delicacy, by others through the difficulty of rightly framing it, to the real question here. How does it feel to be a problem? This is in writing about black and white racial differences. And the answer his was, I seldom say a word. So right now, how would you feel if you were a trans student who was perceived as a problem? Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next in the room, we have Salim Hauk, I think. It's hard to read that last name, but I'm sure you will let us understand what that says here shortly. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
My name is Salim Hauk. I'm a Juneau resident, and I'm here today representing myself. It is imperative that you oppose HB 382. This bill is blatantly discriminatory and will make schools unsafe for LGBT youth. I am a transgender person who began my transition while attending Juneau Douglas High School, and I was lucky to have teachers and staff who supported me. When I first began to use the men's restroom, I was nervous because I had trans friends attending other schools in Alaska that experienced humiliation and violence for using the bathroom they felt most comfortable in. I decided to meet with the principal to make sure that I would have her support if something went wrong. Not only did she stand with me, she asked if there was anything she could do to make me feel more comfortable and safe at school. With her support and the support of the other staff and teachers, I didn't have to spend my days worrying about when I was going to use the bathroom, which one to pick, or what would happen to me when I was in there. I could focus on learning, making friends, and participating in extracurricular activities just like everybody else. This bill would make it very difficult, if not impossible, for schools to support their LGBT students. It would make schools unsafe for these children and get in the way of their ability to learn. All young people deserve to learn in a safe environment from supportive adults. Please vote no on HB 382.
Thank you for your testimony. Is there anyone else in the room wishing to testify on HB 382? All right, we will come back to the room at the end just to ensure that we got everyone. All right, we will now go online. First up, we have Kim Hayes. Please introduce yourself for the record, Kim, and begin your testimony, and you will have 2 minutes.
Good morning, House Education Committee. Thank you to the co-chairs for taking public testimony today. My name is Kim Hayes. I am a Sand Lake resident. I reside in House District 15. I am a parent of 3 kids in our public schools here in Anchorage, and I am calling in today in strong opposition to HB 382. The short and sweet version of my opposition just comes down to my unequivocal belief that our job as adults is to protect our children, including LGBTQ plus children. Forcibly outing LGBTQ plus children before they're ready to share with members of their family does nothing to protect a child. Of course, it's heartbreaking to know that there are parents out there in our midst that would not accept this information, but it's the truth. And I know this because I know parents like this, and I hurt for their children. Also, I know many teachers that also do everything they can to protect our students. And I can't imagine a world where they are required to out a child that confides in them about their gender identity. We already have mandatory reporting requirements for teachers in cases of child abuse and neglect, for example. That makes sense. Those are crimes. What doesn't make sense to me is adding informing anyone at all if a child discloses pronouns or gender identity. It is not a crime to use any particular pronouns or have any particular gender identity. So why are we treating one? I am not interested in our LGBTQ plus children thinking that gender identity is a crime. I don't need to remind you that trans and non-binary kids have a high rate of suicidal ideation and attempts. Requiring their teachers and individuals that they trust to share this information with potentially unsupportive parents is another source of unnecessary anxiety for these vulnerable kids. I am sick of seeing bills being introduced under the guise of parental rights. I have lots of rights as a parent, but I understand that I do not have control, nor should I, over my child's gender identity. Contrary to how this bill is written, students do have rights. They have human rights. Please do not let HB 382 move out of this committee. Thank you so much for taking my testimony.
And thank you for providing it. Next, we have Josh Smith. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Absolutely. Good morning. My name is Josh Smith, and I'm calling in from Anchorage. I'm calling on my own behalf. And this bill is extremely problematic, especially for LGBTQ youth, so I'm calling in my opposition of House Bill 382. First and foremost, when it comes to the bathroom and locker room designation, there are already trans kids in the Matthew Valley who have to take the extra time out of their classes to go use the nurses' room, the only safe place they have, because they already have these policies in place, which just acts as a disruptive factor when it comes to the education of kids in the Matthew. Why are we trying to expand this further, creating solutions to problems that don't exist? Let the kids go pee. And then finally, we keep talking about these hypotheticals. Oh, parents have the right to know. Well, I was a queer kid that grew up in Alaska. I grew up in a small town in Alaska. And this was years and years ago, and it makes me so happy nowadays that kids are finding safety within school, because back in my day, there was no safety in school. There was no safety at home. And it's hard to express how profoundly sad and lonely that existence is, realizing that there is no place for you in this world, and realizing that most nights I went to bed hoping that I never woke up. And sometimes I actually had a plan for that. And so realizing that this is something that still impacts me to this day. If I had had the confidence to actually talk to a teacher at the time I'd found a safe teacher and she'd outed me to my parents, I would have committed suicide and probably nobody would have found the body. The reality is in 2024, kids are finding safety in school. And that makes me so happy, because in 2024, everything was supposed to be better. Schools are there to create a safe place for kids to be themselves, express themselves, and learn. So this bills like this and ensuring that kids, all they do is it ensures that kids don't have adults to confide in, because realizing that teachers and counselors would just then out them to their parents. As somebody who is queer, it is quintessential to the queer existence to know that it is on your timeline and when you're ready to talk to your parents. It's not the school's job. This does nothing to actually protect these kids. These kids creating the safe environment at home, that's actually how you get them to talk to their parents, by giving them the confidence and the safety to know that they are affirmed in who they are. Then they'll go talk to their parents. And for any parents out there that are concerned about their kids coming home with a new pronoun, this may be an opportunity to reflect inward of whether you're creating a safe environment at home. So in reality, I am adamantly opposed to many aspects of House Bill 382. As a queer person, queer kids today deserve better, and they deserve to know that tomorrow is for them, and this bill does not do that. Please do not let it leave the committee. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Monica Whitman. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you for the opportunity to testify. My name is Monica Whitman, and I'm calling in from Eagle River on behalf of my family. I have 2 children in K-12 schools, and I'm calling in opposition to House Bill 382. My trans son depends on using facilities aligned with his identity to be safe at school. It's not hyperbole. He would directly be harmed by this bill. I've read this bill, and I've listened in on the first hearing. It's being framed as a parental rights and a teacher's bill of rights bill. But that wasn't my takeaway at all. Rather, it's a bill that's attempting to address the concerns of a small group of parents that don't understand that there are already strong parental rights in place in our state. What this bill is attempting to do is intimidate and police teachers, as well as codify the use of reasonable force, whatever that's defined as, when disciplining students. It's atrocious. I can see where it would be frustrating to not be able to take home a printed copy of a school budget, but rather than having to look over a principal's shoulders and view it in person, that would be really frustrating. Meanwhile, we know that in states with this type of legislation, LGBTQ+ kids are further marginalized and violence against these kids has nearly quadrupled. There's nothing unsafe about my kid using the bathroom. Parents already have the right to examine their child's student records, meet with their counselors and teachers. There are real problems out there that need to be solved. This isn't one of them. I strongly oppose this bill. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Mary Zatkowski. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Good morning. This is Mary Zatkowski of Fairbanks, testifying on behalf of myself in opposition to HB 382. HB 382 would forcibly out LGBTQ students, violating their basic right to privacy and putting that money in danger. How, when, and to whom somebody comes out is incredibly personal. Unfortunately, for many students, coming out to their parents can lead to hostility, abuse, and homelessness. Being able to confide in trusted adults, such as coaches or teachers, helps LGBTQ students build a network of support and confidence as they navigate through adolescence. LGBTQ youth deserve respect, privacy, and safe places where they can be their true selves. Please oppose HB 382. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Lindsay Banning. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you can begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Lindsay Banning. I'm an active duty military family, part of an active duty military family, a licensed psychologist, and the parents of two teens, one of whom is trans. Both of my kids are students in the Anchorage Public Schools. When pulling this bill together, I'm wondering if anyone stopped to consider that less than 1 in 3 trans kids live in an affirming household. This means the vast majority of kids you would forcibly out are living in unsupportive and abusive homes. If you talk to experts, folks with lived experience, parents of trans kids, or the living, breathing trans kids whose lives you keep casually debating, you'd know that forced outing leads to increased anxiety, depression, self-harm, and suicide. But the presence of one supportive adult, often a teacher, is a protective factor and dramatically reduces this risk by 40%. While you might not care about depressed or dead trans kids, you might care that passing a law like this is linked to a 400% increase in hate crimes on K-12 campuses. Those hate crimes are going to be a real problem, especially when our schools aren't even adequately funded. The only thing this bill seeks to protect are the egos of a small group of unsupportive parents who think being trans is a mental illness. I'm an expert on mental illness, and being trans is not the problem. Transphobia is, and it's on full display right now. Every student in Alaska deserves to grow and thrive. It is crucial that we work together to create environments that allow kids, all kids, trans kids included, to feel safe, supported, and protected. I oppose HB 382 and urge you to do the same. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Megan Gervais. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Good morning. This is Megan Gervais. I'm a parent of two students who are in the Homer School District or in the Kenai Peninsula School District at Homer Schools, and one of my kids happens to be trans. I am in opposition to this bill, 382, and I would like to just state my appreciation for all of the testimony that's come before me. Lindsay couldn't have said it better. Josh, all of these people who are speaking out for my kids and all of the other trans kids out there. The main aspect of this bill that is troubling to me is forcing kids to use bathrooms that don't align with their gender. That would be catastrophic to my kid, who already doesn't feel safe in the world. We have these conversations in the car when we're driving around and my kid looks at me and, you know, we hear something on the radio and my trans kid says, why do people hate trans kids? And here, you know, here's this kid going about the world knowing that people hate them because of who they're being. Like, there is so much hate that is being projected at these kids, and it's a huge load to carry. And this bill adds to that weight that my kid is already carrying around, and it makes schools not a safe place. I just urge you to set this one aside and take care of the kids, my kid and all the rest of the trans kids in the state. Thanks everybody who testified before me. I really appreciate it. That's all I got.
And thank you for your testimony. Next we have Casey Cassort. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you. My name is Casey Cassort, and I'm calling today in my personal capacity as a lifelong Fairbanks resident. I am also a graduate of the Fairbanks North Star Borough School District and the University of Alaska Fairbanks. And I am calling in firm opposition to House Bill 382. I oppose this bill because all students deserve to feel welcome and safe at school. I oppose this bill because no student should be forced to come out before they're ready or that opportunity to share their identity with their parents in their own time. Being queer or trans in Alaska can be so full of joy, especially when we find friends and mentors who affirm us in our journeys to be our truest selves. There's also so much more to our lives and identities than just being LGBTQ. And it's frustrating when bills like this threaten to make being out extra hard because it just doesn't have to be that way. I also oppose this bill because it is homophobic and transphobic bullying just turned into legislation. And I oppose this bill also because it threatens the privacy of all youth, because we know from other states that have passed similar legislation that when you ban a particular group of people, particularly youth, from using the facilities that align with their gender, you put the role of policing all kids' bodies onto their peers, their teachers, their coaches. And so that means any young girl in particular who doesn't fit society's narrow expectations for what it looks like to be a girl is going to be impacted. And I think I, for one, as a very late bloomer, going through puberty, and I imagine I could have been one of those people suspected of not being a quote-unquote real girl just because I didn't look like most of my peers in my early teens. Please put this bill and all other anti-LGBTQ plus bills to rest and focus your time on funding education so that Alaska students can get the excellent education they deserve. Again, please do not hear House Bill 382 again. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Brianne Meath. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Brianne Meese. I'm with District 31 in Fairbanks. It has been well proven that kids who feel safe and cared for learn better and are happier and healthier. I'm completely perplexed as to why this bill is even being considered. It will result in young people being harassed to prove their identity to those who may not even respect or honor it. It has been expressed that this bill will protect the rights of parents to know what's going on with their kids. To that, I would say if your child doesn't feel comfortable sharing their name or pronouns with you, that sounds like a reflection of the parent, not the child. The solution would be for the parent to do some inner work on how to ensure their child can feel safe being honest with them. The solution is not to create broad sweeping legislature that will only harm students, not protect them. Please let kids be themselves, whoever they decide that to be. They all deserve that and require that respect to grow to be their best self. And I also just want to echo the gratitude I have for everyone, one, this space to offer our testimonies and the eloquent speakers that spoke before me. I really appreciate you taking the time to make your statement. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Olivia Lynn. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, Hello, my name is Olivia Lynn. I'm from the Fairbanks area, and I'm calling in opposition to House Bill 382. I oppose this because our schools do not need to have a direct hand in making our students' home life more dangerous. Requiring teachers and counselors to report to parents when their child seeks mental help is not going to improve your child's home life. Many parents will react to this news in a negative way and, in many cases, in abusive ways. If a student is not disclosing to the parents that they are seeking mental help, it could be because they are fearful of their parents' reaction. I work in construction. I work with many parents, and I work with them when they're in their groups, and they talk about, my kid ever comes home talking about this BS, I will, and it's never anything good after that. Our school should be a safe place for our kids to seek help, and this bill takes away that chance for our kids to get help. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Marietta Hall. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Marietta Hall, and I am the parent of two Anchorage School District children. I'm in the Sand Lake area. I have a trans daughter, and I'm here in opposition to the bill. And I just wanted to add to the excellent testimony and tell you about our experience. My trans daughter has the first teacher that called me was in junior high to let us know. They asked permission of my child to ask us to let us know that they were exploring their gender identity. The teachers in our district have been flawless, in my opinion. They're consummate professionals. The counselors have been professionals, and they didn't need any legislation to tell them how to do their job. They are the professionals here, and further, as parents, we are, we are working with the teachers every day as parents of our child. She has been hospitalized once for self-harming when she thought she was going to hurt herself. She then entered high school and was bullied. She had a child who had been going to school with her since she was in preschool, leaned forward in class and tell her she should just kill herself. She did later attempt to kill herself. It's been 1 year next week since her suicide attempt. So this is a real thing. When I asked her about bathrooms, she said, I go where I'm safe. I go to the bathroom where I'm safe. There's two bathrooms in the nursing office, and then there's one gender-neutral bathroom in the commons. She knows exactly where they are. Sometimes she just holds it. She's withdrawn from all sports because she just doesn't want to face that issue. And, this is a real thing for our family. Her first hospitalization, unfortunately, we were on COBRA, and it was Blue Cross of Texas. And even though my husband and I and all my children were born and raised in Alaska, Blue Cross of Texas denied the entire hospital, 3-week hospital stay. And so we went on a payment program. So even legislation that's happening in other states are affecting families, trans youth, and the families of trans youth. And we're hoping to have that hospitalization paid off by possibly next. It'll be about 2 years after the hospitalization that we might have it paid off. I appealed 3 times. I could get nowhere. Your legislation is stepping in the way of a real battle for us every day to just keep our child alive.
Marietta, your 2 minutes has expired. If you could just wrap up your testimony, please.
You're causing more harm than good. Thanks.
Thank you. Next, we have Emily Cohen. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Good morning, members of the committee. My name is Emily Cohen, C-O-H-E-N. I'm a resident of Anchorage, and I am opposed to House Bill 382. I'm disappointed in the legislature's persistence on wasting taxpayer time and money by attacking Alaskan students' right to a safe and functional education. How many hearings on anti-LGBT bills do we need to have for you to hear that Alaskans want you to instead focus on aspects of education that actually matter, like ensuring viable funding or preventing our teacher population from further decreasing due to being forced to deal with things that aren't teaching their students, as this bill would require? Additionally, a supportive parent or caregiver would already know that their child is using different pronouns or a different name in school
This bill would only be offering new information to parents whose children don't feel safe to share who they are with their parents, opening them to potential abuse. Please stop introducing and considering these reactionary bills based in fear and ignorance that threaten the safety of our students. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Xochitl Munoz. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hello, my name is Xochitl Munoz, and I'm calling in from Fairbanks, testifying on behalf of myself to strongly oppose HB 382. I am non-binary, and I have many friends who are also transgender, and this bill is going to have a horrible impact on the lives of trans kids if it is passed. I know personally I would have hated to be a kid under these policies of this bill. It is scary enough to be a trans kid without this legislation. So in an ideal world, this would not be a major issue. Notifying parents if a child wants to change their gender markers, pronouns, or preferred name is going to pose a massive safety issue for many trans kids. It takes away a safe place for students at school who do not have that safe place at home, which is many trans kids. And in addition, though this bill states requiring students to use facilities of their biological sex for the physical safety of students, this bill would be awful for the safety of trans kids. Just recently, Next Benedict, a trans child in Oklahoma, which is a state that has bathroom bans just like the one this bill is trying to implement, was brutally beaten by his classmates in a school restroom. Please stop attacking these already vulnerable children. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Dee Dee Peters. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, this is Dee Dee Peters. My pronouns are she, her. I'm a transgender citizen in Kenai, Alaska, representing myself. Recently, a student at Kenai Central High School told me that she feels badly for her transgendered classmates because kids, quote, throw things at them. When elected leaders support the gender binary with HB 382, you alienate everybody not fitting your new mold. Inevitably, the new non-binary outsiders are bullied. They're victims of violence and sometimes become victims of suicide. This just happened in Oklahoma to a 10th grader named Next Benedict, someone you would derisively call a biological female, but he used he, him pronouns, and he was forced to use the girls' restroom where he was assaulted by girls. His head was slammed into the ground and he was knocked unconscious. He was sent home from school. He then took his own life. This child's death is on the hands of the lawmakers that voted for anti-trans legislation in Oklahoma, lawmakers like you. This country proclaims itself to be the land of the free and the home of the brave, but I look at you and I see fear. You're afraid of trans children and their families. You keep looking everywhere to torment trans children, but you don't even afford them the courtesy to use the term transgender. You spin it. Your legislation says biological males. It's meant to confuse, and you do it because you're too scared. Scared that you can't convince people what you're doing is necessary. You're afraid that Alaskans stuck with your voice in the legislature might think your crusade against a minority group is unnecessary. You're afraid that your hatred is obsolete, and it is a crusade of hatred. That's the dark side that bonds you to your invited guests from March 15th. Swimmer Riley Gaines hates trans people. She sees herself as a victim of their success. Just go back and listen to her testimony on HB 183. The language she selects to describe her peer, Leah, is hateful. And that's her teammate. Why would you want her on Team Alaska? Brett Allred's guest, Matthew Sharp, whom she called her lifeline, is hateful. He's an advocate for a religious fundamentalist group that's designated a hate group by the Southern Poverty Law Center. His alliance defending freedom doesn't just work to protect the, as he sees it, purity of athletics. They work hard to criminalize queerness the world over. That means lobbying foreign governments to strip their LGBTQ citizens of legal rights, like the right to marry a same-sex partner. Like Gaines, he will not be a good teammate for Alaskans because his whole deal is bringing lawsuits against any state that violates his religious liberty / his right to intolerance. Allred, Gaines, Sharp, everyone's a victim.
You could please wrap up your testimony. Your 2 minutes has expired. Moving on to Mike Coons, please introduce yourself for the record, and you have two minutes.
Yes, my name is Mike Coons from Palmer, and I'm speaking for myself. The thing I like about HB 382 is the academic policy committees. These committees will be able to be by and for the parents of the children. This will be potentially remove influences by non-parents on all sides, and be able to put forward policies that directly impact the teachers and children as to what is being taught. From what I understand, the school boards will be relegated to funding. This, like charter schools, are more of a parent-centrist, so parents have a stronger hand in what is and isn't being taught to the children. The school board, specifically Anchorage School Board, can and have put forward policies from the purely political and yet socialist aspect that has harmed teachers that want to teach reading, writing, and arithmetic, and thus the children's learning. I can only hope that these committees, more parents will be involved and stop cold the politicizing and pushing of socialism and immoral garbage that is going on today. What scares the opposition is more parents that more parents are moral and not socialist than these LGBTQ parents speaking today. Lastly, to the LGBTQ advocates whom oppose this bill, it is so much more than this one aspect. This testimony shows why this bill is needed, not just safety for all children, but the influences by non-parent groups that push CRT, LGBTQ, etc. This bill is so we have an academic policy committee that hires the school principals, employees, supervises employees, and supervises the academic operations of the schools. Note the absence of outside influences. Lastly, in a tongue-in-cheek, if the parents of LGBTQ parents want, they can come up with a charter school. Maybe that is the answer to the quote-unquote safety for those children. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Tammy Todd. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Hi there. My name is Tammy Todd. I am a resident of Wasilla. I am calling on behalf of myself. I have two sons, one currently who has graduated last year and another son in the Matthew District. And I am calling in strong opposition of House Bill 382. I am an emergency room nurse. I myself have witnessed firsthand the fragile mental health state that our youth are currently in. I have some statistics I would like to throw out. In 2021, the ADN reported that the youth suicide rate is 3 times higher in Alaska than the nation's rate. Our health department found in 2020 that we are the second highest nation of maltreatment to our youth and children, and we are the highest for repeat malnutrition or maltreatment for our children. You are punishing the LGBTQ community because you yourself do not understand what it is to be trans. It is unfair for you to take your confusion out on this already vulnerable youth community. If you don't understand, ask questions. Do not punish them because you don't understand. I also would like to note that the gentleman who presented this bill says that this is so that the boys do not access the girls' locker room. And I just cannot believe that statement. And then that's how you would introduce this bill. You're hypersexualizing these ladies, these trans women who would like to go in and just go to the bathroom. And you're making it dirty. You're making that they want to go to the bathroom. And it's only to hypersexualize and only so that they can get a glimpse at a girl in the bathroom. You're not understanding. And you're acting like little girls are fragile little creatures that can't protect themselves. Stop treating us that way. We are not fragile. We can use our own voices. Our quality of education, depending on where you look, is ranked 48th and 49th in the nation's average. You would think that you guys would want to focus on our quality education and creating safe environments for our children and not putting them out there and exposing them unnecessarily to risk. It is our job as adults to look over statistics and say our children are not being protected at home. So us, the governing body of education, is going to protect these children. If they're not telling their parents...
Please wrap up your testimony. Your 2 minutes has expired.
Good luck. Thank you to everyone who has spoken on this behalf. It's been beautiful testimony. I hope you guys are listening.
And thank you for providing testimony. Next, we have Mia Shadelour. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hi, my name is Maya Scheibler. I'm a graduate of the Fairbanks North Rural School District. I want to start off my testimony today by reaffirming Article 1, Section 22 of the Alaska State Constitution, This states that the right of the people to privacy is recognized and shall not be infringed, and the legislature shall implement this section. The reality is that this bill, HB 382, arbitrarily addresses problems that are to this day purely anecdotal. There are no links in any published research that reflect a correlation between trans-inclusive bathroom policies and pejorative impacts on bathroom safety. Thus, it is arguable that this bill is being misrepresented as one of safety, when in reality all it does is reflect the implicit bias against LGBTQ youth that only a minority of Alaskans hold. I completely oppose this bill, as the detrimental effects it will have on LGBTQ youth far outweigh any proposed and largely fallacious benefits it may have. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Kay Riley. Please introduce yourself for the record, and you have 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Kay Riley. I'm a resident of Juneau, and I'm calling today to testify against HB 382. First, I want to clarify my opinions do not reflect those of my employer or any organizations I'm associated. Regarding the bathroom issue that was talked about when this was introduced earlier, please note that the fear is centered around cisgender men dressing up as women and assaulting women. Trans women are not the ones committing assault. The problem here is clearly cisgender men. Next, I want to address a section in the bill that would instruct teachers to out queer and trans children to their families when they're not ready. Again, if their families were safe, they would have done it already. When you out someone, you have no idea if the person you're outing them to is a bigot who will emotionally, physically, or even possibly sexually harm them. That said, we're all aware that the state of Alaska has the highest rate of sexual violence in the nation. I am not sure if you've heard of the term corrective rape, but this is when someone tries to make someone conform to a socially acceptable orientation or expression by sexually assaulting them. As a non-binary queer youth, I had to try to fight a man off of me who was attempting to rape me to try and fix me. I am lucky because there was a witness who stopped him. Others have not been lucky. The children that are outed might live with someone like that man and not be able to escape. I'm tired of calling in and trying to protect children from people who are harming them. You are supposed to be protecting them. You are saying you want to protect them, but this is not it. If this passes, everyone who voted for it will be responsible for any child who is harmed by being outed. Voting yes for this bill is making yourself complicit in the emotional, physical, or possibly sexual abuse of children. You don't know who they live with. You don't know what kind of human their caretaker is. Supporting this bill is supporting harming children. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Amanda Thompson. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
My name is Amanda Thompson. I'm a third generation Alaskan and Anchorage School District educator and parent of charter school students, but I am representing myself for this. I support aspects of this bill and I'm alarmed that there seems to be such an organized opposition that seems to all be reading from the same script, using inflamed rhetoric and hearsay not founded on science. Regarding enumeration of parents' rights in the bill, these are things that in general I thought were taken for granted, but today it's common to see school staff and outside groups pushing specific agendas that they do not want parent consent or input on. I saw this visibly in the inclusion of sexually explicit books in elementary and middle school libraries. I saw this in the lightning swift motion of the school board towards removing elementary gifted programs and art without parent and student input. There are several other examples. This is confusing to me. Alaska State Statute 14.03.016 supervises the parent's right to direct the education of the parent's child. My children are thriving at a local charter school, which provides full transparency on its budget, curriculum, and other matters because it has APC. I did not realize this was the practice. This wasn't the practice on any other charter school. As a current educator, I appreciate the bill's concern for enumerating rights and actions needed for me to be the best educator I can. Political interference by administrators, unions, and outside politically driven groups has disrupted my instructions and vehicles for intimidation, bullying, and harassment. An example of this happened last school year. Planned Parenthood came to our campus unknown by our administrators. I used my class's whiteboard and took a picture of what was written on it. Later, I was called into my administrator's office for a disciplinary matter. They admitted that they did not know that they would be in our building as they were doing a workshop for another school. The one administrator said the speaker wanted a photo, immediately deleted, and I was under investigation for taking a photo of content. I was confused. I, as an educator of the school, wasn't allowed to know what content was being presented there. There was no personal information on the board. I was deeply shaken after this incident and saw how swiftly outside groups could sway a school administration. HB 382 is extensive in its content and will need a lot of discussion and consensus to move forward.
Objectives to sustaining the role in school distress and the safety of the students are trying to capitalize on sharing such a push an ideological agenda that does not have basis in science. The school is using the most important value a parent has for their child, their own love, to try to foster that. I'm supportive of it with further discussion in a minute. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Menika Theroux. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony.
Hi, my name is Menika Theroux. I'm a resident of East Anchorage, and I graduated from the Anchorage School District. Sorry, I'm still just like reeling from the previous testifier. I'm not an outsider. I have lived in Alaska my whole life, and I am calling in opposition to this bill. This bill really clearly just discriminates against LGBTQ plus youth, and it makes school a less safe place for them. Sometimes parents and counselors are the only safe adults in a student's life, and we should not be seeking out to out those students to their family. They should have the ability to decide when and how they want to have those kinds of conversations with their family and friends. I want students to feel safe and supported at school. I had a really hard time in high school, and I often relied on like the support of certain adults in my schooling, and I hope that students will be able to continue to do that. It's really disheartening to see bills like these being introduced when we know that this kind of legislation has led to violence and harm against students in other parts of the country. So I urge the committee to vote no on this bill and to move on to other topics that would help improve our schools in the state. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Rachel Lord. Please introduce yourself for the record. Begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair and members of the committee. My name is Rachel Lord. I'm speaking for myself and as a parent of two elementary age students in Homer. Nearly every aspect of this bill is a misuse of law in my mind and shows a remarkable lack of understanding of what actually happens inside our schools. Instead of providing leadership or looking to deed to actually engage meaningfully for improvements with our district, this bill is further stoking distrust and animosity with Alaskan families towards the neighborhood schools. This is fear-mongering. I am not sure where Rep. Carpenter came up with these provisions, certainly not from the Kenai Peninsula School District, where many of the provisions in this bill of rights are already in place, with the exception of the harmful provisions against LGBTQ students and families. On those provisions, I echo all of the testimony against these dangerous aspects. As I said, many of these are already in place. We just received notice of my fifth grader's health curriculum in 2 weeks, with an opportunity to pull them. I can access my kids' curriculum at any time. Our schools are public schools, and as such, so are their budgets. We have parent-teacher conferences twice per year. I am in regular communication with both my children's teachers. This is just a small fraction of the provisions from number 1 through 17 in section 1 that are misguided at best and grossly misleading. The idea that the legislature needs to pass a law saying that parents are allowed to address the school board of the child's school is appallingly dishonest. We have multiple opportunities at every school board meeting to address them. These are publicly elected officials and open meetings, and public participation is prioritized. Our school boards operate under the Open Meetings Act. I don't know if any of you have been on a locally elected body, but they operate in a legally required, incredibly public and transparent manner, far exceeding that of the legislature. Parents have responsibilities along with their rights. I am on a PTO and a PTA and 2 site councils. We have some amazingly engaged families, but let me tell you, it is no small feat to try and get more parents and families engaged in our schools. We work at every meeting hand in hand with our teachers, principals, and staff to figure out how to increase parent engagement. This bill, again, is fear-mongering and seems to have been developed in some alternate universe where parents are overwhelmingly engaged and the schools are keeping them out. Nothing could be farther from the truth. Finally, in Section 4 of the APC, we have parent and community member site councils in all of our schools. And I think it's an interesting conversation to bring more community engagement into principal hiring, but our site councils do already have provisions along those lines. And I don't believe that enough work has been done to actually understand the current model and how that would be most effectively adjusted. Our site councils engage parents. There aren't a lot of parents wanting to sit on the site council. So again, this is not an accurate representation of the reality in our neighborhood schools. And I would ask you to look to deed for more leadership and to have the legislature have a better understanding and engagement within our schools before making legislation proposals like this.
Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Ed Martin. Please introduce yourself for the record. Begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, Chairman, and members of the Education Committee. This should really focus on education. I'm not certain that this bill actually does that. I've heard testimony about non-gender bathrooms. I wish somebody could explain what that definition is. I think this bill, if it was ever passed, lacks definitions. It has zero fiscal note, yet it leads to the training of teachers. I'm really concerned about, it talks about, professional judgment. I can tell you right now, there's a lot of school teachers that go home and smoke pot, yet they're never tested in our school system. There's students that come to school that have been smoking pot. Now, you guys want to address the problems we have in our school system? Let's do some drug testing, all right, of those that teach our children. Let's not worry about the gender situation. You know, Welcome Back, Carter was a well-known TV sitcom. And, you know, he dealt with a bunch of unruly students. That was what the show was all about. And it was about racism, divorce, abortion, civil rights, unemployment, and being poor. You know something? You guys just amaze me. And what you create, it seems like we're history's repeating itself. Yes, there's conservatives, liberals, and moderates with all kinds of ideas how to fix the problem. Well, first off, I can tell you this. You know, academic organizations, what do they call it, policy committees, are they dealing with any of what I just said? Not really. You know, I testified on another bill earlier, and there'll be another one that you guys dropped off about charter schools. But I can tell you something. If, in fact, there's a problem with gender or non-gender, maybe another charter school, and don't limit your charter schools to only 60 in the state. That's what you got in statute. Come on, wake up. I don't know what to tell you, but I'm 69 years old, and I went to a two-room schoolhouse, and I turned out pretty good, not considering whether I'm a male or a female. But I do have great-grandchildren, and if it wasn't for males and females, I wouldn't have them.
If you could just wrap up your testimony, your 2 minutes has expired. Okay. Next, we have Rebecca Bernard. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Good morning. My name is Rebecca Bernard. I'm an Anchorage resident, and I am a parent of two children in Anchorage Public Schools. My older child is a transgender girl, smart, beautiful, and deserving of all the rights that all children in our schools get. I just want to say I'm going to appreciate all the speakers who have opposed this bill, as I also oppose it. And I want to say that we have a crisis in public education right now, but it is not a crisis having to do with LGBTQ kids. They are not the problem. The problem is the lack of financial support for our schools that just continues year after year. And to get so close to having a big boost to school funding, which would make our school stronger for all children, to go straight from that to having to show up and testify against another bill targeting trans and queer kids is really hard. It's painful to come and testify at these hearings over and over again. The vast majority of people who are testifying on these bills targeting trans kids are opposed to the bills, and yet they keep coming. The worst thing about this bill is something others have touched on, which is that requiring students to tell parents when a student wants to use a different name or pronoun at school It's going to harm the kids that are most vulnerable. If kids felt comfortable and safe telling their parents, they would. And if the schools come in and tell the parents for them, that is putting those kids at risk. And if you don't think it's real, just look up the statistics on homeless trans youth. Many trans youth are not accepted by their families. They're rejected. They're kicked out. Homelessness, self-harm, and suicide are serious risks and serious problems in this community. And finally, I just want to say, I know that there are some on the committee who don't believe that transgender identity is a real thing. As a parent, as a trans youth, I just can't say strongly enough, it is a real thing. Please get to know some trans youth, some trans people. It is a way of being in the world that is just as valid as your way or my way of being in the world. And we need to embrace these youth and trans people in general as part of our community that have something to offer and contribute and that deserve the same human rights as everyone else. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Phil Moser. Please introduce yourself for the record. Begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
My name is Phil Moser. I'm calling from Juneau representing myself. I'm calling in opposition to this bill. It's been about a decade since this issue has become political and it's really heated up. And within those 10 years, states that have implemented laws like this, that have implemented laws that target LGBTQ kids, have seen a quadrupling, a four-time increase in hate crimes against these kids. I think the data is already in on what bills like this do and the harm that it causes. We've seen that over and over again, but the data is there. And if the lawmakers that are supporting this bill and pushing this bill through don't see it, then they're being willfully ignorant. If they do see it, then they're supporting this bill because of the harm that it will do. We've seen an explosion in the calls from LGBTQ plus youth to crisis hotlines. Many of those calls are directly related and directly draw on the hostile environment that bills like this cause at their schools. If bills like this had not been introduced, then kids like Next Benedict would still be alive. Whatever the result of the death was, whether it was through the beating or whether it was suicide, it was directly caused by the hostility and the hate that bills like this produce, and the hostility and hate that people like or accounts that support these bills that create this hostile atmosphere that target LGBT kids have created. I don't think there's anything more to say to this. It's the data is out there. We know what bills like this do. If there's support for this bill, it's because it does harm the children. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Jessica. And Jessica, I'm going to need you to state your last name. I don't want to get that wrong. Please introduce yourself for the record and begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Morning. The last name is Vaudre, and thank you for hearing my testimony this morning. I support this bill. There's nothing wrong with parental rights. In fact, I often wonder, where can kids go, or what other choice do kids have? What other schools are available for kids to go to if they don't subscribe to certain radical leftist agendas that are prevalent in schools today. I've seen firsthand of, certain clubs going around at lunchtime, handing out stickers to kids, trying to recruit them into their, certain clubs. And I once had a student approach me, and she was afraid. She had nowhere to go. She didn't want to take on the sticker on her lapel. She was getting bullied, and I asked her, I said, you want me to call your parents? Are you that afraid that you're being targeted and bullied by this group? And she says, yes, they want you to call my parents. I want to go home.
And so I went to the school administration and asked them, you know, this girl doesn't feel comfortable. She's being bullied by these certain groups, the LGBT groups. She doesn't want to put a rainbow sticker on her clothing. If she doesn't, she's going to be targeted as a hater, as a bigot. How can I help this kid? Can I call her parents and let's have a meeting about it? I was denied that from the school. I was told that I could not call this child's parents as a teacher. The admin would not let me call them and help this child. So, you know, we talk about bullying. I hear all these phone calls about bullying, you know, and actually the people who have been calling in are not the victims. They're the bullies, you know, and all these testimonies are just, you know, they're backwards. It's all reverse psychology. You know, we see a whole new, it's like a coup that has taken over the schools nowadays, and kids have nowhere to go if they don't subscribe, you know, to this certain ideology. We still have constitutional values. Kids can retain their Judeo-Christian beliefs in school. They shouldn't be told that they can't, you know, that they have to hang those up at the door to come in and get an education that's radically different than that. You know, so I support this bill. I school choice. So thank you for all you do, and I hope this bill passes. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Linda Branson. Please introduce yourself for the record. Begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Yes, my name is Linda Branson, and I'm calling from Wasilla. Firstly, I just want to point out that there is discrimination on both sides. So you have both sides interacting with you know, their thoughts. So I want to also point out that children know what their genitalia is. Okay, so no amount of trying to teach them other ways is going to change that. That's a biological fact for them. Schools should not be acting as parents. We have our population in comparison to any other state in the United States is pretty small. I'm wondering what the percentage of the LGBTQ population is. They absolutely should get an education. They should absolutely have access to the public school. But at the same time, pushing their only agenda on students who don't agree with it is not good either. That's discrimination. And as I say, it works both ways. Children, if they are not learning this from home, are learning it from the schools. And again, I would just point out, schools should not be acting as parents, and schools should not be dictating to parents or allowing students to not, at least for the parents, to not be informed of what their children. I think parents in Alaska need to be parents, not the schools. And again, I want to end my testimony by saying that discrimination works on both sides. I am in support of this bill because there is a lot of good in this bill. Thank you very much.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Randy Griffin. Please introduce yourself for the record. Begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Hello. My name is Randy Griffin from Fairbanks, Alaska. Just watching gavel to gavel, and this is a very interesting bill. It sounds good to me that parents should have rights and should have the right to be involved. I just printed out the whole thing. Haven't had a chance to read it all, but part of what I read is it says a public school shall allow parents to review and make copies of, at no cost, the curriculum of the child's school. In other words, all these things for parents to be involved is good. Now, it gets down to the nitty-gritty here. It says, and this is under the shall thing, notify parents of a school employee or contractor acts to change the child's gender markers, pronouns, or preferred name. I certainly think parents should be notified about that. However, as far as if a child who has feelings of wanting to become a switch over to a different gender or something comes and talks to their teacher, just on a little brief conversation, you know, after class lets out or whatever, I don't think that that teacher should be required to report that to the parents. I mean, he can if he wants to, but he shouldn't be required to. It's better to just, I mean, it's okay. He just listens to the poor kid who has some confusion and so forth. And, but that in those cases, should the teacher there advocate for that or say that, yeah, go ahead and do that? The teacher should be just understanding and kind of neutral and listen a little bit. And And I think it's okay for the kid, you know, some outlet might help the kid, but we don't want to cultivate people wanting to become trans or wanting to be get into the gay lifestyle. But we should certainly be understanding, you know, if that just happens, we should be understanding of citizens who are, you know, go that way, you know, through no fault of their own or whatever. But so anyway, I think the bill, House Bill, what is it here, 382 is a good thing. And thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have David Boyle. Please introduce yourself for the record. Begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Co-Chair Ruffridge. This is David Boyle speaking for myself. I have to apologize, first of all. I just learned of this hearing about 10 minutes ago and was watching the hearing. So I will follow up my testimony with a written testimony via email to the House Education Committee. I fully support this bill. It's a great bill. It's about time that somebody puts the primary parents into the equation of students' education. I'm very surprised that most testifiers, they seem to only be focusing on bathroom use and the privacy of specific group, that's transgenders. The privacy of all students is paramount. In Anchorage, even the school board tries to hide its position on transgender students. It refuses to put transgender and gender identification in a policy, and therefore it won't have to vote on it. Only administrative guidelines, thus hiding it from all parents. And regarding the use of bathroom, there is a solution for transgenders and those that are not cisgendered to use different bathrooms. My solution is use the staff bathrooms and let's see if the staff wants to accommodate them or have a specific bathroom for those that are, let's say, having issues with gender identification. The student mental health issues that have been mentioned by many testifiers have not been caused by policies and transgenderism and bullies in schools, mostly by closing the schools during COVID, and that's the fact. There are unintended consequences if this bill does not pass and the parents are not included in the student's education. More and more parents are going to remove their kids from the schools. And you can see that now because the correspondence students now are about 22,000 in the state of Alaska. My question is to all the other testifiers against this bill, who can be against parental rights in education? We need the nuclear family involved in their kids' education. Does the education industry really want to replace the nuclear family? It appears as if they do by some of the testifiers. And by the way, I just said thank you for this opportunity to testify, and I will follow up with email testimony. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. That is the end of our online testifiers. Is there anyone else in room wishing to testify on HB 382? All right, seeing none, I will close public testimony. Okay. Public testimony is now closed on HB 382. I will set an amendment deadline for HB 382. Amendment deadline will be March 29th, which is Friday at 5 p.m. Please give thoughts to that and get those into the committee by that time. Representative Carpenter, did you have any closing comments? Seeing none. Okay, we will...
Is there opportunity for questions for Rep. Carpenter?
We will do questions at the next hearing. We're going to move on to our next bill hearing, please. I will set HB 382 aside, and I will take a brief at ease while we transition to the next bill.
Rep. Ruffridge?
Yes.
Thank you. I just wanted to let the committee know that I did put an alleged legal request on the bill having to do with does this raise concerns about privacy rights in the Alaska Constitution? And alleged legal is online, but in short, they do say yes and give an explanation. And I'll just make sure everybody on the committee gets to read that.
Thank you, Representative Story.
Representative Ruffridge.
Yes.
I also am putting in a request, too, because I found that the there has been very partisan legislation or legal advice coming out of Ledge Legal, so that is being researched and looked into. So I will also be getting some override on some of the stuff that's been coming from Ledge Legal. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Allard. We will take a brief at ease. All right, we are back on record, House Education Committee. And next up, we have HB 230, second hearing from Representative Hemshoot. And we will be taking public testimony on this bill. Please give us a brief introduction, Representative Hemshoot, to, reintroduction to House Bill 230.
Thank you, Chair Ruffridge, and members of the Education Committee. Thank you for hearing this bill a second time. I'll keep the introduction almost as short as the bill itself. My goals with this bill basically are to fulfill at least a little bit of the work recommendations that came from the Teacher Recruitment and Retention Task Force that the governor put together in 2021. They produced a document, a report, which then resulted in a playbook. And this recommendation is found throughout their work. It's very simple. It's a one-line bill. I don't know if we need to do any sectional analysis on it, but the one-line bill basically repeals a line of statute that requires districts to only offer recognition of years of service from out of state at 6 years for a bachelor's degree and 8 years for a master's degree. So if you are a master's degree experienced teacher and you come into a district in Alaska and that district is willing to recognize all those years and place you accordingly on the salary schedule, they're restricted in only being able to offer you 8 years instead of the 10 that you've actually worked. So you bring that experience in and you take an immediate potential pay cut by only having 8 of the years available to be recognized because of state statute. So I'm trying to get the state out of the way of the districts.
Understood. Thank you. Is there any pressing concerns to ask Representative Hemshoot about before we open public testimony? Okay, seeing none, I will officially open public testimony on HB 230. Testimony is open. Is there anybody in the room wishing to testify on HB 230? Seeing none, we do have a few folks signed up online, so we will first move to Carol Moores. And just as a reminder, public testimony will be limited to 2 minutes each. And if you are watching or listening online, please remember to turn down the volume before you testify. Carol Moores, please introduce yourself for the record, begin your testimony, and you have 2 minutes.
Good morning, and thank you for the opportunity to speak. I am speaking on behalf of myself. My name is Carol Moores, and I live and work in the Bering Strait School District. My journey towards Alaska began in 2005 when a colleague's story about his sister, who was a teacher in one of the villages, and how she had her groceries flown in. This really caught my attention as a young teacher, and I am now living my dream 20 years later. I now work as a school counselor in pre-K through 12 school with approximately 180 students. I'm currently concluding my second year at my campus, and as a proud Alaskan resident. I will also be completing my 17th year in total as a certified educator, and I have many more years previous to just my certificate experience. My current placement on the salary scale is a year 9 with a master's plus 18. I have taken many more college credits and have many more years of experience beyond what I am being valued at. If Alaska wants to bring quality, experienced out-of-state educators, then we must pay teachers according to their actual experience. A quick side note, I moved here by way of Maine and before that, Texas. Both of these states give quality, certified, experienced out-of-state educators all of their years and experience when figuring out where they fall on the salary scale when hired. Please vote to repeal the limit on the number of years of out-of-state school experience that can be substituted
for state experience. So that Alaska is able to attract quality experience out of state educators for our students. Thank you for your time.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Emily Vanderpool. Please introduce yourself for the record. Begin your testimony. You have 2 minutes.
Well, good morning, members of the House Education Committee, Chairman Ruffridge. Thank you for hearing testimony today. My name is Emily Vanderpool. I'm the Director of Curriculum and Instruction at the Cusbuck School District in Aniak. I'm also part of our district hiring team. And with over two decades of experience in rural Alaska education, I'm here before you today in support of House Bill 230, out-of-state teaching experience and salaries. I urge the repeal of the Alaska Statute 1420-220, a statute that restricts the years out-of-state teaching experience that can be recognized by Alaska school districts. This repeal would grant districts like mine the autonomy to set our own experience caps, which I believe is essential for addressing our severe teacher shortage. In my 19 years at Cusbuck, teacher recruitment and retention has never posed a greater challenge than it does today. Currently, we have 20% of our certified positions unfilled still at this point in the school year, and we have one school that has no teachers in person at all. The shortage for us includes classroom teachers, special education staff, principals, district-level directors, and at this point, we haven't been able to hire a single teacher for next school year. We know that Alaska's university system doesn't produce enough teachers to meet demand for the state, and so it necessitates us to recruit beyond state lines. And this means we're competing with all the other states when recruiting teachers. And this existing statute hinders our ability to attract experienced educators. Many qualified candidates would face salary cuts due to being placed only on step 6 or 8 of the salary scale, which fails to acknowledge their years of valuable experience. And the disparity in salary between step 6 and the higher tiers is substantial for us, and particularly in light of the exorbitant cost of living in Alaska, and especially rural Alaska, where I think right now a gallon of milk is about $15, a gallon of gas is $9 in Aniak. So this financial burden, coupled with the salary limitations that are imposed by the statute, really disincentivizes experienced teachers from coming to Alaska. And in conclusion, granting districts the flexibility to recognize the teacher's full experience would enable us to offer more competitive salaries, essential for addressing our ongoing recruitment challenges. And Alaska's education funding shortfall already places us at a disadvantage compared to other states, and the current statute exacerbates this issue. Repealing Alaska Statute 1420-220 is crucial for ensuring that Alaska can attract and retain the qualified educators that our students deserve. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you for your testimony. Next, we have Rachel Lord. Please introduce yourself for the record. Begin your testimony, and you have 2 minutes.
Thank you, Chair Ruffridge and members of the Education Committee. My name is Rachel Lord. I'm the parent of two kiddos in elementary schools down here in the Kenai Peninsula Borough School District. That is the sum total of my connection with our schools. But I will say, as a citizen and as a business owner, I do have a deep civic interest in the functioning of our public sector. I want to just be on the record strongly supporting House Bill 230, and I do appreciate Rep. Henshu for bringing this forward. I was really delighted to look through the Teacher Retention and Recruitment Action Plan that's on basis for this bill as backup documentation. And I, in the context of all the teacher retention conversations that have been happening, conversation around the state lately, I have been increasingly asking what kind of leadership need has been providing to move the needle across the state. This is an element within that is supported, I think, very clearly supported within the teacher retention and recruitment work that's been done at the state level. And I urge this committee to move this bill to help us keep moving in the right direction. Thank you very much.
And thank you for your testimony. That brings us to the end of our online testifiers. I'll move back to the room for one last check if there's anybody in the room that wishes to testify on HB 230. Seeing none, and there is no others online, I will officially close public testimony. Okay, that brings us back to the committee. I wanted to make sure that everyone was aware. I will set an amendment deadline for HB 230 for Wednesday, the 27th of March, and that's at 1 p.m. So make sure if you have any amendments to House Bill 230, you have those into the committee by that time. Is there any, well, Representative Brox.
Does this bill have the word repeal in it?
Representative Prox, if you're looking at the same bill I am looking at, then yes.
I just wanted to confirm that. I think we should just move the bill along. It's a pretty simple, straightforward bill. Either it repeals or it doesn't, and it does. So.
Okay, Representative Prox.
We could discuss it if we needed to discuss it.
But. We will take a brief at ease and make sure if that's a desire that you have the appropriate motion in front of you. Brief at ease. Back on record, Representative Story, you had a question.
Yes, thank you, Co-Chair. Referring to the bill sponsor, I'm assuming, and I don't know if you can just help me, this was set in statute, I don't know what year, but was it to save money for the state, or do you know the history of why this was put into law?
Thank you. Through the chair, I speculate, so I can't say that I've had Ledge Research look into it or anything like that, but I speculate it was tied to our defined benefit system in that it would be very costly to bring in teachers and place them anywhere on the salary schedule within the defined benefit system, I'm guessing. I'm not sure if that was the issue. But when that system went away, this should have been repealed at the same time, more than likely. At the time, we had a lot of competition in the field of teaching. We had a lot of people, and nobody was really looking. You could offer them 0 years of experience, and they still wanted to teach in Alaska. That's not the case today. So looking at all levers.
Yeah, thank you for that. I do, just a brief comment if I might. I do know how desperately we are for teachers right now, and it's certainly, and we want experienced teachers. I know there's a lot of excellent new teachers always coming into the field with their passion for kids, but I would hope whether we had a defined benefit system or not, that which we don't right now, that we would be bringing and allowing districts to decide, because that is really important because it's be coming out of their budgets. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for those comments, Representative McCormick.
Thank you, through the chair. I just wanted to add some commentary on this. I support the bill. I think it's fine. I do believe in an ideal situation where we did have a lot of teachers. I do see some value in kind of wanting to quantify the experience in state, just given the unique nature of our school system, but given the reality of teaching in Alaska right now, it just feels gratuitous. So perhaps in some ideal future where we have lots of educators, I could see a utility in this, but it's just not the case anymore. I might also just note something very interesting. I hope this is useful for folks. I'm reading a book right now about Bethel from the lens of a social worker in the 1960s. And it's just fascinating to hear her perspective, how back then being a teacher was a very competitive, very, they talk about educators as having great housing opportunities and just having the best life out there. And so it's just interesting how that is just really not the case anymore. So just wanted to put that on the record for context. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative McCormick. Representative Hemshue.
Thank you, through the chair. I just wanted to respond quickly that I applied as one of my first jobs in LKSD and was not given an interview as a brand new teacher in 1994. And had to go elsewhere to get my experience and to even get started because there were that many teachers willing to work in our system here in Alaska. But your point about Alaska experience being especially valuable, 100%. But if a teacher has cut their teeth in another state and gotten those first few years of teaching behind them, which are very, very difficult, it takes a long time to get your feet on the ground in the profession. If they come in having already done that and they have Alaska experience, even better. And yeah, I don't know if there's anything restricting a district from bumping up what they provide people for Alaska experience. I'm not familiar with that in any salary schedule, but I would support it. So, because we know it matters. So anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no other comments or questions for the good of the order, this will conclude the meeting of the House Education Committee. And we will be adjourned today at 9:35 a.m.